Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for this day. God, I thank you for this time. I thank you for this moment. And God, I thank you for loving us. God, your love is amazingly big. It's beyond comprehension. And God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what you're going to share today. God, what you will put in this place and put in our ears and in our hearts. And God, I pray that we'll take what you give us and use it. God, sometimes we take Scripture and we think of it as something simple, and God, we kind of just walk past it. But God, today I hope that as we read your Word, your Scripture, God, we'll take this to heart. God, we'll know and trust that it can change us. God, that it can renew us, it can restore us. God, that if we trust what you're telling us, God, our lives will be filled with peace and joy. God, no matter what the circumstances are. And so, Father, today I just ask that you have your way with us all. God, that you deal with us individually as we need to be dealt with. God, that you'll give us understanding. And God, that understanding will grow into action. And we will be obedient to it. Thank you, Father, for this privilege. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, thank you for being a part of today. And we thank you for last week. Last night also. So glad that you're here this morning. Last week we're kind of scattered. Today I'm going to try to keep it contained so it actually feels like you've been to a worship service. We want to go to a place today, and I'm using a very familiar scripture of what God's response to us is. But before I get started, I titled this, and I got a couple different titles. I only gave Sharon one, so I got a couple different titles, but this is the one I went with, When the Bottom Falls Out of Your Life. I also had one, When Life Comes Unraveled. Anybody ever had the bottom fall out of your life? You might be sitting here this morning and say, yeah, I only have a bottom. You know, it's gone. Did life ever come unraveled? You ever tried to grab the ends to life and try to tie them back together and nothing seems to work? I got a series planned, but again, God's just dealing with me on my own life, and it's amazing what he brought me to and what he had me thinking about, because the last 2 weeks of my life has probably been at least in the top five of the most frustrating weeks I have ever lived on earth. It's just been ultimate frustration in every direction I turn. Anybody ever had that? Now, some people know, yeah, well, if y'all's life is perfect, you don't. But anyway, it just gets crazy sometimes, right? And have any of y'all ever asked the question, God, what are you doing? Anybody ever asked that question? Or God, why are you doing? Or why are you allowing this? Why is this taking place? God, why is it so difficult? And let me ask this ultimate question right here. Have you ever just felt like walking away from God, just cutting your losses and saying, you know what? Now, don't get all religious on me. Let's be honest and real with you, because this happens. You ever just felt like just saying, God, I can't keep up. I'm done. You ever felt that way before? Yeah, just you know what? I'm good where I am. I got Jesus. I'm going to heaven. You know, that's good enough. Is that really good enough? Is that the way we process things? I didn't get to that point, and I knew that God was still God, and I knew that God still cared, but I dang sure couldn't figure out what was happening. You ever thought that, you know, you like standing on some kind of ancient burial ground, or something's happened that you've violated some law, and like things just keep trickling down, and it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse. Everything you touch kind of just turns to mush. That's kind of the 2 weeks I've had. And in all of that, I began to look at, because I wanted to handle it in my normal way. Usually, I fly high, and if I can scream and shout long enough, things seem to get better. Anybody ever scream and shout? Who's got a temper in here? Yeah. Isn't it awesome? Yeah, just turn red in the face and turn it loose. And but it doesn't do any good. So I say all that to say this. At the end of this week, I'm like, God, this, I really started laughing about life. I'm like, God, this is crazy. This is crazy. Don't know why I am where I am. Don't know why you put me here. But this time, Father, I want to handle it differently. I want to do it differently. So I'm going to take what you have taught me, and I'm going to take what I have told other people and probably didn't do myself, which is always bad. But I'm going to take it, God, And I'm just going to worship you in these moments. I'm just going to thank you for being in this place. First thing that comes to my mind, and I use this all the time. This passage of Scripture is so near and dear to me. It's just near and dear. When Paul was begging for God to take the thorn out of his side, and he begged God. I mean, he begged God. And then God said, "My grace is sufficient." And Paul literally looked at this as a gift. So it took me a little while to get there. And I don't know if I still handled it properly, but I began to say, "God, I'm going to look at this as a gift. I'm going to look at this frustration and everything that's going on as a gift." And one thing started to occur to me and started to come to life for me. As I began to turn and look at God instead of look at my circumstances, I began to get to interact with people that I hadn't gotten to interact with. My attitude, not that I went and shared the gospel with them or the Bible with them, but just my attitude was beginning to make a difference in these situations. You know, it was a huge deal that I was seeing something different and God was taking me in a different direction. Let me ask this question, because this is where I want to go with Scripture. How many of y'all have ever gotten so frustrated, so angry, so upset with God, and then realized that, you know, it was like, man, I shouldn't have went there, but thought that God was too angry with you for you to come back to Him? He was too angry with you for you to even cry out to Him. Anybody ever felt that way? That God was just mad with you? That God thought you were ridiculous? That God thought you were crazy? And He told you to take your little whiny behind and go on out there and pout? Anybody ever felt that way? Sure, it's kind of, I've been there. Like, you know, now I'm in a real fix. I'm stuck in this, which my decisions got me here. I'm stuck in this, and I'm too ashamed or you feel like I'm too bad or too rotten to go back to God. And that's just a horrible place to be. Well, let me tell you, before we go to the passage of Scripture, because it's going to be very familiar Scripture, because this is the Scripture that came to my mind when I was thinking this, God doesn't look at you that way. God doesn't see you that way. And He may tell you, and I ain't backing off of this one, God may tell you, hey, you're being whiny. Come on. You're my child. You know, he made that. Because a good parent will correct your kids. You will correct your kids. And God is an awesome parent, and He will correct you. So I'm not saying that there wouldn't be, like God would say, hey, come on, get your chin up. But God doesn't look at you as like, you sleep on the porch tonight. You know? God doesn't put you out in a doghouse. Even when we misbehave, even when we do something we know we shouldn't do, God doesn't look at us that way. I've told y'all this story before. My boys, they were great kids. They hardly ever did anything wrong. And that's a lie. They were great kids. They really, really, really were. But in the moments, they would disappoint me. Anybody been disappointed by your kids? If your kids are here, you're not going to raise your hand. But anyway, sure. You know, not disappointed in them, but disappointed at a decision they might have made. And it happened. And your kids, my kids are sitting there now like, oh, great. They're going to have children one day. And that's awesome because they get to experience that. I'm loving it. They get to come around to seeing that. So anyway, it happens. But never at any given time, even when my child did something, would I ever say, you sleep outside. Or you can come back in the house when you can straighten up or do something differently. You know? Never did I say that. Never did I even think that. I love my child. Yes, I'm disappointed, but for them, you know, for maybe something that's going to affect them. But never would I put them out of the house. And God looks at us that way. So very familiar Scripture, and I want us to focus on some things today because it is Thanksgiving, right? I want us to focus on some things. I'm just going to kind of tell you where I've been, Scripture that God laid on my heart as we was going through this. Now, I know the Scripture we're going to share is about the lost one, the lost soul, those separated from God, and I understand that. But I want to use it also as a tool this morning to look at how God takes us back and receives us, and that is simply in Luke, if you will, our first scripture, we're going to talk about the prodigal son. Any prodigal people? You know, why do you think he said prodigal son? There's some daughters out there too, right? There's some prodigal daughters that have run, and there's prodigal sons that have run. But I just want to use this, especially the end of the scripture, I want to make a few points about, because God brought this to my mind, because I was in a place, just like Jesus described this guy being in a place. And by the way, you know, a parable is a made-up story. Jesus made this up to make a point. So as he's talking about this young man, I felt like I was getting and going to that place, not just from the standpoint of wanting to do things my way, because that happens a lot in my life, and God continually breaks that in me, but not just that, but the thing of feeling like that I have been so frustrated that my thoughts have been consumed by the things of the world and consumed by my circumstances, that I have been eaten up by all that and I have fallen into that, and then realized that I was kind of far away from God. And then realized, like, oh man, I messed that up again. And felt like God was a little upset with me. He was a little mad at me. But God brought the scriptures. I was just combing through Bible. And by the way, it's great comfort, and you should read your Bible all the time, even when you're feeling great and feeling like you're the most spiritual person in the world, read your Bible. But especially in times of life, there's answers in there. There's answers that God gives us. And so the first thing that God brought to my mind the other day when I felt like I was just far from Him. You ever feel that way? Life gets crazy, life gets going, and you kind of just, really, you just kind of start ignoring or kind of just easing away from God, and before you know it, you're way off. You're way off. And that's just kind of the way I felt. So this came to my mind. Wait a minute. This is the prodigal son, right? I need Luke 15, chapter 11. Luke 15, verse 11. I'm sorry, my bad. There we go. Okay. All scripture's good, right? I could have read y'all that and we could have went home still. Not going to happen. All right. Luke 15. To illustrate a point further, Jesus told them this story. And by the way, he's talking about the lost. And he talked about the lost sheep that Jesus, that he said that my Father loves you so much that he would leave the 99 and go seek one. He's talking about the lost coin, that the lady would just kind of drop everything she's done, sweep the house, clean the house until she found that lost coin, and then she would rejoice over it. He's talking to the people about this is how God looks at you and sees you. In other words, if you're the lost sheep, God would leave the 99 and come find you. I want you to get that understanding of God, because I would venture to say that a lot of us sitting in this room sometimes don't view God as that loving. We know He's loving, but not that loving. That He would come get you. He would come get you. He would leave the 99 and come get you. So to further illustrate His point, he says this. A man who had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, the younger son packed up all his belongings and moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money had ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. I don't know if y'all have ever fed pigs before. That's a messy job. Unbeliever, but it's also, you got to look at it this way, how God receives His child back. Because I think we get, when He means the term lost or says lost, He was lost, He didn't know God. But let's be honest, there are times we will get lost. The follower of Christ will get lost and tangled up in life. We get mixed up, we get tangled up. How many of y'all have ever had life just take you in a direction you know you weren't supposed to go, but you went anyway, and before you know it, you're just tangled up in it. And it happens. Jeremy, this morning we were talking in iTunes, and there's nothing here I want to rake off. I want to be moved. And of course she says, well, you need to rake some stuff off. There's nothing here I want to rake off. I want to be miserable. But it gets full, and you get tangled up in all of that. But I came to my senses. He said, at home, and when he realized it, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. You. And I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. You ever felt like that? You just wasn't worthy to go and talk with God? I mean, I was like there, and I'm certain, because I've had conversations with some of you guys, and y'all, you know, life gets you too, and I understand that, and we need to remember this, but you know, I'm like, I'm hearing, and God, I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed of how I've acted, how I've reacted. I'm ashamed at the things I've said, the things I've done, and here's a kicker too, the things I think. God, that never comes out of my mouth, the things that I think I am ashamed of. God, the things that, you know, you ever had that mental conversation and you just, whoever it is or whatever it is, you just going off and it's a mental conversation. But Jesus is like, that. Those matter. What are you doing? So he says, please take me on as a hired servant. Now here's the part I want to use to show you, or this happened in my life this week, because God brought this scripture to me, and when he brought it to me, I'm like, oh yeah. My father isn't that way. My father isn't going to be standing at the doorstep with a baseball bat in his hand. My father isn't going to be standing there graceless. My father isn't going to be standing there saying, I will make you a second-rate servant. He's not going to be doing that. He reminded me in this passage of Scripture that my God doesn't look at me that way. My God doesn't view me that way. Now, I've used this scripture and preached it a lot of times. Yes, there may be a discipline, because God disciplines the ones he loves. But the first thing God does, God is more about bringing back than setting you straight. He will bring you back. I believe my Heavenly Father and your Heavenly Father is like this. I believe the first thing that happens when you go off in left field is God will pick you up in his arms and he will love you. He will love you. He will embrace you. And yes, there may be a time, and there should be a time, because I did it with my children, and this makes perfect sense. When my kids, when I had to paddle them, I would set them down, explain to them why they were getting a paddling. I would paddle them, and the next thing I would do is throw the paddle on the floor, pick them up, and hold them in my arms and tell them, this is finished. This is done. End of subject. The punishment was because of. Now, we're going to move on from here. We're going to move on from here. And I just think that God picks me up in his arms. There, without discipline, our world, look around our world. We have a whole world without discipline. Look what no discipline brings. So yes, there'll be some discipline. But I think the first thing God does will pick you up. He would even say, I believe, according to this, and I believe, he would pick you up and say, are you okay? Are you okay? He would first say, I'm glad you're home. I'm glad you're home. You know, I've often wondered why Jesus, and you know, why the story didn't continue. You know, they killed a fatted calf, and we're going to read about that in just a second, and did all this. Why Jesus didn't maybe put in there, and the next day they sat down and had a really long talk about why you don't run off like this. But you know, I think we can pick that point up. Why you don't run? Why you don't run from your father? Look how this turned out for this guy. Jesus is saying to look what happens when you run or are separated from God. Look what happens. It's a very clear picture. So he says, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. So he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, so father saw him come. He said, mm-hmm. He's all mine. Just underline thought. So, but God, so ashamed that I felt like I couldn't really come back to you. But God, all I said was, I am sorry. Help me out of this place. And God really does love simple prayers just like that. I may get fired today. But I sat down that night, and I'm like, what in the world do I need to preach to these people? You know, not really like that. Not really. But I opened up, and I didn't even, God, I can't go speak the gospel. I can't go speak the truth in the place that I'm in. There's no way. I even thought about making some phone calls. I said, hey, you preach this Sunday. Because I feel completely and totally unworthy. Completely unworthy. God, I have run far from you once again. You know, the last time this happened, I said it would never happen again. And I thank God with a smile, he said, it will. It will. You'll run again, and I'll still love you. Isn't our God awesome? Isn't our God amazing? Now, Paul even said at one point in the Bible, should we keep doing these things just to experience God's grace? He said, absolutely not. And that's the problem, that's the thing that just tears me apart. God, why do I keep doing this? Why do I keep doing this? And God would say, because you're looking at the world. You get so tangled up in things that you think matters, and they do matter to a degree. It's my job. It's my occupation. But none of that matters next to me. Me first, Danny. Me first, Danny. Put me first. And I've heard that. I've read that. God has told me that. And every time that happens, life is as it should be. Circumstances can be whatever. But my focus is clear and my walk will be right. But I got off. I got tangled up in some circumstances. And this scripture, instantly, as I sat down with the Bible that night to start reading some stuff to bring to you today, as I started, this scripture came to my mind just like a megaphone. God, I'm far off. I'm here eating with the pigs. God, I've gotten far away from you again. And unlike this guy, he just ran from his father, I don't think, because he knew any better yet. He had to go get that figured out. The part that was so bad is I knew better. I knew better. And so the shame maybe was a little more intense in my, I'm like, God, how can I even? Yeah, I know different. I know, but how can I even? And so I begin to pray something that God has always responded to. I begin to, God, break me. Break my heart. God, give me understanding once again that this stuff is just life. And you're in control of every bit of it. I think I told Trey the other night, I said, I think I'm having a Job moment. You know? And then I even thought about it. I even actually went and read a couple chapters of Job. When Satan would go before God and say, I bet you he would curse you if you let this happen. And God would say, okay, but you can't touch this. And I begin to read the parts about you can't touch this. And once again, I begin to see the power of God. He told Satan, he said, you can touch that, but not that. And it was a testing of Job's heart. And God said, I believe my servant's true. God said, I believe he'll stand. You go ahead and try that, and I bet you Job won't curse me. And I watched that and listened to that in the Word, and I'm like, you know what, God? That's right. And his circumstances was way worse than mine. And Job went through complete life calamities. He lost his family, lost his business. Job's sitting in a pile of burnt pottery with nothing left, still praising God. Still praising God. And here I am with problems about that big. And, you know, I've run from God. This scripture came to my mind. And God would say through this, Danny, no. You remember the story that my son told? You remember the story that he told about the lost guy? In the same way, I rejoice when you come back to me. I rejoice when you come back to me. I love you that much. I love you that much. So the one thing I began to do, and I'm going to read these passages to you as well, that clicked. The light came on. And I'm like, you know what? There is one thing, God, I remember doing a while back in some circumstances and situations, God, that removed the entire amount of worry and frustration from my life. And that's when I just, in that situation, began to exalt you. When I just began to praise you in spite of what was going on in my life. When I began to just turn to you and say, God, all that can burn up. And that's fine. And that's fine. When I began to look at God and say, God, you really are the only thing that matters. In fact, the things that I really care about, I wouldn't care about if it wasn't for you. I wouldn't care about my family. I wouldn't care about friendships. I wouldn't care about anything if it wasn't for God. I could not love if God wasn't in my heart. Because I, no matter how you want to slice it, God is love. So you don't actually know love until you know God. And I'm like, so God, I'll just get back to exalting you and praising you. You have never failed, and God brought this to my mind. I have never failed to provide for you. Never. Me and Cindy, as a married couple, when we were really, really young, and I told you, and this is one of my little sad stories, but you're going to have to listen to it anyway. Zeke was a tiny little baby, and I'll never forget. You know, I was farming, and money meant nothing to me. I'd go borrow money. It didn't matter. I'd spend money like crazy. And so me and Cindy were there, and I remember, and she'll probably tell the story a little bit there. I only seen one can of chicken noodle soup. We may have had a few more cans than that. I don't know. But I remember looking at, we had a light bill due, and we needed groceries. We really, really did. We needed groceries. And Zeke, you know, Zeke's still a little tiny, tiny thing. And I told her, darling, it's light bill or groceries. You know, they're not going to let us pay half the light bill and keep it. So we're either going to be cold and full-bellied, or we're going to be empty-bellied and feel warm. You know what we need to do. So I remember, and why we done this, I don't know. We were just crazy. We burnt gas driving the car to the electric company to put the bill in the little slot. I guess I just want to make sure they got it. And I still say it was ordained by God that morning, because we got up and we're asking. We're young. And if y'all can picture us that way, and we're young. My hair was like blonde, and, you know, and we were young. We get in our little car, take our little baby with us, and we go to the co-op, and we stick our electric thing in there and say, well, that's paid. And I don't know how many of y'all, but anybody been too proud to ask for anything? Can I just say this? Never let that happen. Because I'm going to tell you straight up what God's done in my life over a few years. If I'm ever having empty cabinets again, I'm going to ask somebody in here, hey, y'all got any bread? I'm going to ask. And I expect you to do the same thing. See, anyway, and I don't want to get choked up, but we drive back to the house, pull up in the front of our little tendominium, and park the car, and there's this long cardboard box sitting on our porch. To this day, I have no idea who brought that. And this is 24 years. How old are you, Zeke? 25. 4. 24 years old. He's getting old. He's half my age. But there's this box sitting on the porch. And Cindy said, who did you tell? I ain't told nobody, because we're proud. Because you know what they say about young married couples, they'll never make it. You don't want to give them the satisfaction. You'd rather starve to death. So we're sitting there, and we pull up in front of our, and we, her, Cindy and I just, we start to cry. Like, there was enough diapers for like a month. I didn't know Pampers made that many at one time. There was that many diapers. There was soup. There was food. There was bananas. I mean, literally enough food to last us for 2 weeks. For 2 weeks. And I'm like, this is crazy. So we go to church Sunday and say, who? And I know they probably lied. Some of them probably lied and said they did. I don't know who did it. I don't even know if it was somebody from our church. All I know is a box showed up. So you can't tell me that God doesn't meet your needs when they need to be met. It may look bad. It may look pitiful. But God will meet your needs. He will always meet your needs. And God was telling me through this passage of Scripture, don't you remember? I've never let you down. You don't have to fear coming back to me. In fact, I want you to come back to me. He said he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. But his father said, and that's a huge but, praise God for that. But his father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. And kill the calf we have been fat. We must celebrate with a feast. And yes, he's talking about someone who's lost and doesn't know him, and he has realized that he needed God. That's what this parable is about. But our God, follower of Christ, when you get far off and when you get tangled up in life, he receives you just like this. He's glad that you have realized and understood. He is thankful that you looked up and looked at him and opened your eyes to him and allowed him to say, God, you are so much better than this. I'll come home. I'll come home. So I want to leave you with a few scriptures just to ponder on over this Thanksgiving holidays. And this is what God just showed me as I was going through all this and thinking about it. And you know what? And by the way, just let me say this. Every circumstance that I was talking about, God didn't remove. Every circumstance that I got going on, every frustration that happened to me is going to meet me tomorrow morning. God didn't remove any of that. I still have to deal with that. Still have to deal with that. But you know what? I think I'll take tomorrow morning and I'll look at it through the eyes of God. It may be bigger than me, but it's not bigger than my God. And if God can supply, and he truly does, sooner or later that will be something that has passed. And God will be taught me something in it. And I want to learn everything that God has in that for me. Cindy asked me, I said, have you been praying for patience? No, I haven't. Because you know, when you pray for patience, God usually, he'll work it out where you can have to have some patience. Let me share these with you. Go to Psalm 150. As I read this, guys, and God brought me back to understanding how he takes me back, how he will receive me. He said, just like the lost guy, I redeemed and restored his life. Just like that guy, you already have life. I'm going to pick you up in my arms. I'm going to love you. Remember this about God. Remember what we need to do. And this is the season of Thanksgiving. And I told you last night at our celebration that Thanksgiving ought to be every day in a believer's life. Every single day. This life is going to pass away. I just wanted to say, this is what I wanted to share with you. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heaven. Praise him for he is mighty. Praise him for his mighty works. Praise his unequaled greatness. Praise him with a blast of the ram's horn. Praise him with the lyre and the harp. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise him with strings and flutes. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with the loud clanging cymbals. Let everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Go to Psalm 103. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he has done for me. I want to read that one more time. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget. Let's do this together. May I never forget the good things He does for me. He forgives me, gives all my sins, and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. And finally, Psalm 145. I got to read all this. This is like, as I was sitting here reading this Psalm 145, it was like, God, there it is. There it is. You have removed once again the worries of life. You have removed the worries of life just by your word. See, this is why I love God's word. God's word is soothing. God's word is powerful. God's word is redeeming. God's word will just get in you and it will change you. It'll change your focus. It'll change your thinking. It'll change how you react. And Psalm 145 is like my favorite. And this is where I had to get back to. I told you at the beginning of the service that I had to get back and had to understand and had to begin to do what I had already done in a previous frustrating circumstances, and that was simply just exalt God. Because I don't know whether you believe this or not, but I certainly do. We're not guaranteed our next breath, and I'm getting to a point in my life. Notice I said I'm not there yet. I'm getting to a point in my life where my breaths is way too precious to be spent on fretting over the things of the world. Every breath I take should be exalting and praising my Heavenly Father. So, Psalm 145, we'll end up with this. I will exalt you, my God and King, and praise your name forever and ever. I will praise you every day. Yes, I will praise you forever. Great is the Lord. He is the most worthy of praise. No one can measure His greatness. Let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. I will meditate on your majestic, glorious splendor and your wonderful miracles. Your awe-inspiring deeds will be on every tongue. I will proclaim your greatness. Everyone will share the story of your wonderful goodness. They will sing with joy about your righteousness. The Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all His creation. All of your works will thank you, Lord, and your faithful followers will praise you. They will speak of the glory of your kingdom. They will give examples of your power. They will tell about your mighty deeds and about the majesty and glory of your reign. For your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your rule throughout all generations. You rule throughout all generations. The Lord always keeps His promises. Isn't that comforting? God always keeps His promises. He is gracious in all He does. The Lord helps the fallen and lifts those bent beneath their loads. The eyes of all look to you in hope. You give them their food as they need it. When you open your hand, you satisfy the hunger and thirst of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in everything He does. He is filled with kindness. The Lord is close to all who call on Him. Yes, to all who call on Him in truth. He grants the desires of those who fear Him. He hears their cries for help and rescues them. The Lord protects all those who love Him, but He destroys the wicked. I will praise the Lord, and may everyone on earth bless His holy name forever and ever. So I want to leave this with you. I don't know where you're at, what's happening in your life, what's going on in your life, but I know this about humanity. I know that life can stink sometimes, and I know that life can get disturbing sometimes, and I know that life can get so unwound and unraveled, and I know that the bottom can fall out of life a lot of times. And the reason I know that about you is because it's true about me as well. It's called living in a sinful world, that God is busy redeeming lost souls. and God is busy leading and directing his followers, and God would say to us as his followers, don't you know, I'll never leave you? Stay, keep your eyes on me. Don't ever let anything become more precious to you than I am. Never. Be thankful. For whatever's going on, be thankful that God is still God and that God too will work in and through all this. And when you come out the other side, God will be shaped and molded something in you that will make you better, that will make you more, that will help you understand that you are being transformed and redeemed by Almighty God. So my advice to you, and even my plea to you, is whatever you're going through, stop looking at the circumstances and start praising God. Start praising God. Start exalting God. Start lifting up the name of God with a heart that's true to that. It's not a mechanism you use to make circumstances easier. In fact, we know this about our enemy. The more I praise God, the heavier his attacks. But can I just say this? He has nothing on God. He is already defeated. Already defeated. So don't let something or someone or that's already defeated, already going down, control and operate your life with the frustrations of life. Depend upon God and trust Him. I want to wish y'all an awesome Thanksgiving. As you're sitting around lots of groceries this week, lots of food and all those lovely things you love to eat, remembered who supplied the bounty. I would also encourage you to invite someone to your home. Be charitable. I should have made me a list. I had this. It sounded better in my head. But give God thanks and make it a Thanksgiving more than just gathering around a table. Make it a Thanksgiving for those who think they have nothing to be thankful for. Love on some folks. And I do. I hope Thanksgiving is the best you've ever had. That it'll be a day that you'll never forget. So, let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much. God, I thank you for, first of all, for just being you. God, for your promises that never fail. God, I thank you for Scripture. And God, you take your word and bring it to our mind and bring it to our heart. God, the examples, the parables that Jesus gave us, you help us to understand. And it's so awesome that God, when we get to the place where we truly just seek you, how you bring this to us, which proves to me, God, that you're not a God who wants to try to make us figure it out. God, you're a God who wants to open our eyes to it, who wants us to see and understand. So, God, I pray for everyone in this room that we'll take time today and from these days forward, that we will take time, God, just to worship you, to exalt you, God, to lift up your name. God, I pray that the frustrations and things of the world will become so minimal that they have no effect on us. God, that we will exalt you in all circumstances. May you be lifted up in our lives, and may you be recognized in how we serve you, love you, and live for you. Thank you for being our Father. In Jesus' name, amen.